T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
The Mark Cox Morning Show.
Listen to both sides.
The bottom line is,
I respect that we don't agree.
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Just to find a voice. Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
I don't know how to put this.
Mark Cox.
I'm kind of a big deal.
Well, it adds excitement, doesn't it, folks?
The Mark Cox Shortlist, brought to you by Eagers Heating and Air Conditioning.
In a little over 100 days, we went from a secure border to crisis.
The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers is actually going to be restarting border wall construction.
What they are doing to the Palestinian people is what they continue to do to our black brothers and sisters here.
We need to stand with our greatest ally that promotes peace in the Middle East, and that is Israel.
A leader with no followers is just a person on a walk.
I could push to 12:30, but I am flying commercial.
A solid meeting with.
Oh, you know his name. Hey, welcome back to the Mark Cox Morning Show. So glad that you're with us this morning. And by the way, let me make this declarative statement. I stand with Israel. Changed my photo there on Facebook. They're offering that, right? IPAC is offering that right now. You can get that where it's show your support for the people of Israel. In the meantime, we have United States Congress people like Rashida Tlaib going around comparing the shooting war between the Israelis and the Palestinians as the same as what's going on in this country between police and people of color. Honestly, this woman got elected to the United States Congress. Of course, who am I saying that to in an area where we have a first congressional district to congresswoman who's probably said things that are crazier than that? So welcome back, and we're glad you're with us. We've still got lots going on this morning. The governor of the great state of Missouri, Mike Parson, is coming up at 7:35. We're going to have time to ask him about some of these things that have passed already in the legislative session, the gas tax, PDMP, among other things. But also his call that we're going to end this enhanced unemployment benefit. Also, the fact that there are still some COVID restrictions that are out there that are impacting schools in ways that you may not realize. Like, we've had some changes at the state level in terms of the medical directives regarding COVID. We've had some changes in leadership up there. But some of these school districts still have questions over exactly what protocols they're still working under. And we're hoping the governor can help us clear some of that up this morning. And also which of these bills he's planning to sign and which ones he may not, including the one that would, allow county council in St. Louis County to end Sam Page's current restrictions. And they are still out there. So we should find out more about that a little later today. We got that coming up. And then Missouri Senator Bill Igel with what's still to come. Here's the thing. You know our Missouri legislators, you know how much money they make a year? I know they only work part-time. I think they make about 30 grand or something like that for that position to be in Jeff City 5 months out of the year. The last week of the session, it's apparently not unusual for them not to sleep. I talked to Senator Andrew Koenig yesterday via text and said, hey, what's the situation with this? What's this? He goes, I don't know. I don't even know if I'm going to go to sleep tonight. Like, well, that's interesting.
How does that lead to good decision making?
That's a great question.
I guess they're just up debating this and that amendment and you know, we had Dave Schatz on, the Senate pro tem leader, yesterday, and he said that he's used to these hours anyway.
I got to be honest, I wish that wasn't allowed.
Yeah. That there was a cutoff time that they weren't allowed to go like, until all hours.
You don't
of the
really
night.
Make great decisions when you're exhausted, do you? Mm-hmm. You're just like, whatever. I just need to be done.
Yeah.
Right? But, I mean, like, I don't know. Maybe that's a personal thing, but I'm glad that's not me making those decisions because I would probably be angry and rash.
Well, it's a deliberative process, right? They have a bill. They're debating amendments to that bill that get brought up, and I don't know. Regardless, we'll get an update on that from Bill Eigel coming up here at around 8:10 this morning, just to see what they've got going on. But you know, that's good. That's what's going on in Jeff City. Keep an eye on a lot of stuff. They've got this pipeline supposed to restart today, so they'll have gas service to the East Coast, and nobody will put gasoline in grocery bags. By the way, a little update on that. I said to this earlier this morning, please tell me that video is not real, right? There's video circulating on the internet of a woman filling up what looks like the kind of two-handled bag, plastic bag you'd get at Schnucks or Deerberg's with gasoline and trying to tie the top of it closed. Well, I found out this morning that video is actually from 2019. So you can't believe everything you see on the internet.
Well, that's true.
That always bears repeating. There are people that have been putting it in like
it has happened before. It just didn't happen to happen the other day.
Thicker plastic bags like you might store something in, but not just regular. It's sick when the Department of Transportation has to issue a warning not to put gasoline in plastic bags. That's just let me throw that out there. And they had to do that twice yesterday, just so you know. Hey, by the way, let's get to our guest. Former Missouri Senator Jim Talent joining us this morning. Jim, good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you. Just trying to update people on this pipeline situation. And, you know, I've said a little earlier this morning and even yesterday, Americans need to pay attention to just how quickly things devolved into anarchy in some of these states where the fuel supply dried up in a matter of a couple of days. I mean, we all need to be aware of this because it could happen in Missouri.
Yes, it could. I've been saying for some years now that the country is vulnerable in ways that were not true when I started in politics, or I think even when I was in the Senate. And it just looked back at the last year and a half. We're vulnerable to bioagents. Now, this one, was not a deliberate attack. I don't want to get into that argument. It was naturally occurring, I would say, although the Chinese covered it up and lied about it. Our infrastructure, basically, you can look at the country as a number of systems, financial, transportation, communications, and they're connected in nodes that are vulnerable to attack and are hard to defend. So what we need to do in response to this is not either ignore it or panic, which is what our government has been ping-ponging in between. We need to have a higher level of vigilance going forward in all of these areas, and we need it over a sustained period of time. Now, the good news is the reservoirs of strength that we have as a country, I think, are enormous. We just need to use them. And it would be very helpful if, at least in occasions like this, we could figure out how to unite. Okay, we don't have to be united all the time. We're not going to be. We never have been. But on issues like this, we do need that. And then if we have all those things, then what will happen over time is we'll elect leaders who are better in dealing with this, because that'll be one of our priorities. So, I don't know, that was not a great radio answer, but
well, no. You know,
that wasn't a 10-second thing, but that's basically the situation we're in. And if we're not better, consistently better over time at responding to these things, they're going to keep happening.
Well, here's the thing. You know, I had Charles Payne on from the Fox Business Network yesterday, and he points out to me that whoever hacked the Colonial Pipeline system has a help desk. They do this to companies so frequently that they have a ransomware help desk that you can call to coordinate your payment so that they'll free up your information, right? And my point to him was, well, that's just great. Because now every terrorist that hates America is calling up the help desk to figure out how they can do the same thing, except for far different reasons. If our grid is that at risk, Joe Biden should declare a national emergency tomorrow and make sure that this is priority number one. Before any more government giveaway programs that he wants to cook up, we need to harden the infrastructure on our power grid, on our oil and petroleum grid. This is a potential looming disaster, in my opinion.
Yes, and in order to deal with these challenges, as well as the more traditional but very dangerous great power challenges we have, especially from China, and of course it's all wrapped up, it's all, you know, together, because that's part of the problem with the great power competitions. We're going to need, among other things, the strength of our financial resources. Now, this was, until a few months ago, an area where we had a clear advantage over China because they were in much greater debt than we are. That margin of safety and strength, if you will, has now been eroded. And it might have been good to stop and think about that before we shovel hundreds of billions of dollars at various domestic constituencies. In other words, part of the problem with doing what we're doing because of division and narrow political goals is you're not addressing what are the real challenges and problems that are confronting the country from a national security point of view. And there are many and varied. And listen, I'm part of this. I mean, for good or ill, I'm part of this. Some people will call it the swamp, but the national security establishment, and the kind of people who do this in and out of government and talk about it all the time. And everybody's very worried across the political spectrum because of these vulnerabilities and because we're not addressing them consistently. Now, I've done it on this program. I give the Trump administration a lot of credit. I wrote written columns about this. A lot of areas where they really moved us forward. But we need to continue that progress from administration to administration. And so far, you know, I can't say the same thing about the Biden administration. I can't.
Right.
We have these huge huge border problems. We now have this problem in the Middle East, which is not totally because of what Biden did, but in part because he's going back to this policy of reaching out to Iran and putting distance between the United States and Israel. And that tends to create instability. When it coincides with other, you know, sort of coincidental factors like these issues in Jerusalem now, you can get what we're getting in Israel.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you see how these things are connected, and we need a sustained, consistent, but calm effort over time.
Jim, don't you worry, because the new Secretary of Energy is on top of all of this. And if you're, you know, if you got relatives down in the Carolinas somewhere who haven't been able to get gas for 3 or 4 days, Jennifer Granholm had a message for them yesterday that was pretty much the equivalent of let them eat cake.
If you drive an electric car, this would not be affecting you, clearly.
Yeah, that's the point she chose to make in the middle of this. This would be a disaster if you were down there in North Carolina and 70% of the gas stations were out of gas, couldn't get to work or any of that stuff. And the Secretary of Energy wants to take this moment to remind you, if you only drove an electric car, you wouldn't be having these problems. Wonder how that would have worked out in Texas during that ice storm.
Well, and that's the point. I mean, when I hear political leaders say something so ignorant on their own terms.
Yeah.
Okay, now, let's not argue about whether we ought to have electric cars or not, or mostly electric cars or not. If you have electric cars, what do they depend on? The electricity grid, which is every bit as vulnerable, in fact, probably more so and harder to protect than the pipeline grid.
Yes.
So you see how stupid that is on its own terms. Okay. If she had said, look, we look forward to an electric car future, but we have to attend to the needs and the security of the electricity grid, that would have been okay. I mean, I don't agree with the policy she's talking about in terms of electric cars necessarily, but at least that's an intelligent statement.
Right.
So what is she doing every day? I mean, this is the thing. I know she hasn't been on the job a long time, and being governor doesn't prepare you for this, which might have been a reason not to appoint her. I mean,
thank
I get
you.
All that. But, you know, you. This is the sort of thing. And see, other bad actors around the world, whether they're nation states or subnational movements or criminal syndicates, and that's all wrapped up. I mean, most of them are part of all three of those things, right? Okay.
Yes.
They listen to this and they draw conclusions about us. I mean, I used to say all the time when I was in office, one of the dangers is that other countries and other peoples take our government seriously, even if we don't. In other words, they listen to these things and they say, well, they don't know what they're doing. And the truth is, they're right.
Yep.
No, and that emboldens them.
It does. Hey, before we run short on time here, I need to talk about what's going on in Israel.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a tragedy. And you've got people like Rashida Tlaib out there trying to compare the Arab-Palestinian conflict or the Israeli-Palestinian conflict with what's going on between police and people of color in this country. This is the leadership we're getting from Washington right now. This is serious, Jim. I see the Biden administration turned over hundreds of millions of dollars to the Palestinians.
Right.
And it seems to have emboldened them.
Right. And took the Houthis in Yemen off the terrorist list, you know, without getting anything for it. They haven't appointed an ambassador to Israel. Of course, they're trying to revive the JCPOA, which everybody knows will mean a lifting of the sanctions to Iran, which everybody knows will mean a replenishment of the stocks of Hamas and the growing stocks for Hezbollah, and then responded to this by statements which they weren't terrible, okay, but they implied an equivalence that Israel's, they said, let's both sides de-escalate, which suggests that Israel is the cause of this, which is not true. Yes, and then so then this emboldens the groups like Hamas and the Palestinian Islamic Jihad, which is even worse, and Hezbollah and Iran. And then we get what we get. I mean, how often do we have to make these mistakes before we stop making them?
Yes.
You're right. I mean, listen, I can't, as I said, there are local factors. You know, they had to stop worshiping at the mosque because of COVID. We have this landlord-tenant dispute in Jerusalem, and these sorts of things are always a problem. The Israeli government is in this domestic political crisis. They can't form a permanent government. All those things contribute to it. But really, they've got to get their heads out of the early 1990s. I think Hamas is doing this in part to try and make itself relevant again, because the Abraham Accords were such a brilliant stroke. There's a real danger from their point of view that nobody will care about them anymore.
Yeah, that's true. I was going to ask that question. I wonder if those accords that we struck are one reason we haven't heard the immediate outcry from some of the other Arab nations that we've heard in the past when this happened.
Yes, well, Hamas overplayed their hand. I mean, they make mistakes, too. So as long as this was about Jerusalem, it put, you know, Bahrain and the UAE and these other Muslim countries in a difficult situation. But then when Hamas did what they did and attacked, you know, civilian centers, and it's clear there's an Iranian hand in it, because, and this was what the brilliant insight behind the Abraham Accords, that these countries that have signed these peace agreements with Israel, they are much more concerned about Iran than they are worried about Israel. And so Trump took advantage of that, you know, strategic reality to build this, you know, this peace arrangement. And that's still true.
Yes.
Okay. So again, an alignment of strategic interests is what is behind the Abraham Accords, and those endure and tend to endure even when there are local or temporary issues.
Well,
so I think we're okay, but I mean, why do we want to raise the risk, the possibility that we're not?
It's a scary situation to watch. I hope they get this figured out and the Biden administration takes the lead on it. Jim, out of time here, but thank you for your insight on this.
Okay, man. Have a good day.
Yeah, we'll talk next week. Former Senator Jim Talent there now with the Bipartisan Policy Center. .org is their web address, by the way. Coming up, Missouri Governor Mike Parson on what's happened in Jeff City, enhanced unemployment benefits, all of it right after the break.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. host a local event, and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Glad you're back with us. This is the week in Jeff City when legislators don't get a lot of sleep, and they're trying to make decisions and get things done and make deals. And a couple of them have already passed, including the increase in the gas tax and the prescription drug monitoring plan. And a lot of others are still pending. Our guest this morning is Missouri's Governor Mike Parson. Governor, welcome back.
Good morning, Mark. How are you this morning?
I'm doing fine, sir. Good to get you on here. I know you got a lot to consider with these bills that are going to be coming to your desk. And you were, I believe, in favor of this gas tax proposal from the get-go, right?
I was, Mark. I think the one thing that's clear in this state, the Constitution says it is our obligation in the state to go through a use fee at the gas pumps to be able to fund our infrastructure in this state. And I believe it is one of the main obligations we have as a government is to be able to do that.
Governor, do you agree, though, with the idea of not going back to the voters after they turned this down just 3 years ago?
Yeah, you know what? I do. And I think that one is I think the legislators represent the people of the state, and I think they should take the responsibility of that. The truth being made on that is most people didn't want to take the tough vote. And I don't know that that's always a good reason to just take it back to the people. I do think there is reasons you do that. But I also think under this new bill, Mark, you have the option not to do it. And I think that was the one thing that made this probably more feasible than any other thing we've ever tried to do. So if a person wants to go out there and they really says, hey, I don't believe in this, I don't want to do that, then you can opt out of it. You don't have to pay it.
Oh, and how do you do that?
Well, much like what we used to do on off-road diesel, if a farmer would go in there and they bought diesel with tax on it, you kept your receipts and you went into at the end of the year and said, okay, I bought this diesel for the farm. I want to take the taxes off of this. Then you would be refunded that money. That process is in this bill. So if you're one of the people out there that says, hey, I just don't want to do this, I can't afford it, I don't like it, or whatever your reason is, you can get that refunded back to you, the tax.
At the end of the year, you'd have to keep a lot of receipts, I guess, but I see that. Yeah. you need to be a good record keeper to make that work well.
Well, you do, but I think for the people that's kind of used to that a little bit, I guess that's, I want to say kind of like for me, like on a farm or something, you do that every year, so
yeah.
Day and out, but you know, it takes effort. It does.
Yeah. Governor, prescription drug monitoring plan. I read today that Missouri was the last state in the nation without one of these. You were in law enforcement. I understand the challenges to the opioid epidemic and what they're trying to stop here, but a lot of conservatives had some real issues with the amount of information that gets gathered here and the risk of them being put on government lists.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question that is a real possibility, and you want to sure try to protect that as much as you possibly can with all the other things we do. The reality of it is I was always a supporter for that tool to be used for a law enforcement purpose and to make sure it was strictly confined to that. And I think that is a tool for law enforcement to use. And we know that goes on every day out here, the way they shop drugs in the state. I think there is protections you can put in place to do that, but there is always the risk of that. I can't deny that. We've had that happen before with state agencies where somebody's tacked in or got into a state agency, and there is always that chance.
Yeah, yes, sir. You know, I wanted to mention for a moment the enhanced unemployment benefit that you've decided to bring to an end. Of course, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch editorial board is not often on your side. In this case, they admitted that you weren't wrong for you and your reasons for doing that, but they felt that your presentation needed to be worked on.
Well, if they said anything good about me, frame it up and send it to me, would you? That would be a first for them to say anything good. You know, the thing about it was, Mark, we got 220,000 people, job openings in the state of Missouri right now, 220,000. And when you look at the unemployment benefits, and if you're one of those people that's getting rental assistance, utility assistance, you literally are staying home for about $35,000, $40,000 a year. And we got to put an end to that. This was a temporary fix for a crisis. And we're well beyond the crisis now. We're much better off with the vaccine. We're in control of things. But people's got to go back to work. I mean, that's just this was one of the basic principles we all got to realize. You got to make a living.
Right.
And we've got to be able to get them back into the workforce. And I think this is a way to do it. And I think it's the right thing to do at the right time.
Yeah, well, I agree with you completely on that one. You know, Governor, and I want to bring up COVID because you mentioned that just a second ago, and that the worst of it, we believe, is in the rearview mirror. Let's talk about this House Bill 271. I assume you're going to sign that if that gets to your desk, which would rein in Sam Page and some of these local health boards. I understand it has an emergency clause, so it would go into effect immediately upon your signature.
Right, right. We haven't looked at it, General Counsel, but we'll sure look at it. Look, there's people overstep their bounds, and there's going to be consequences for that. And this is exactly what this legislation was all about. And it was because a handful of people overstepped their boundaries. The vast majority of the state did what they needed to do. But again, you just can't put restrictions on people and think you're going to mandate them, you know, just to when one or two people decide, well, I'm just going to do it. I'm going to take them off someday when I feel like taking them off. You use the excuse we made the science to make the decision. Now we don't want to use the science to take them away. And that's wrong. And that's what creates these problems.
Right. So Governor, I wanted to ask, based on these COVID restrictions, I know there have been some changes at the Missouri Department of Health. There's an acting director, Robert Nodell? Is that his name?
Correct.
And he put out an order that basically said all past it was kind of confusing to me. I know you may not, this may be in the weeds for you here, but the memo that was put out on April 20th said all previous orders are still in effect. And then it said some previous orders aren't. And some school districts seem confused about this because there is a memo out there telling them they still have to contact trace and all of this stuff in schools. Can we expect some clarification on this from the state level?
Well, I'm not for sure what all the details are, what it is, Mark, but what we're trying to do is lift the regulation to not have as many. So we definitely have changed the way the social distancing issues in there. The mask is going to be a thing. I think I'll see more and more people do away with that. Or be left up to the individuals. Let me say that. And I think that's the direction I want to head in the state. You know, I want people to make decisions for themselves. I don't want government to be making it for them and mandating what that is. And I think you're seeing now, we know now after going through an entire school year, even a summer school, that there was very, very few incidences in school after all the hype that was made up about it. And the two big school systems that didn't go back were St. Louis, Kansas City. You know, 90-some% did, and with no incidents. And it's just got so far out of hand that you got to get kids back to school, and they can go safely and go back to school.
Well, I do agree with that. A school board member brought this concern up to me because she said school boards are now looking at what the rules are going to be for August when kids come back, and there's still some confusion over what these rules are.
Well, you know what? I tell you what I will do. I walk down here this morning. I'll look and see what that is, and we'll try to clarify that. And maybe I'll have somebody send something to you for clarification on that, of what that is, or something we can do to make it better.
Yeah, I certainly appreciate that. Governor Mike Parson, I know you got a lot of bills coming on your desk. We'll look forward to what you do in the coming days. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it.
We will talk soon, sir. Thank you for coming on this morning. Yeah, that's, you know, school boards need to know. Do we still contract trace or do we not? That was an order by the previous director of the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services. The new director says, well, you have to pay attention to some of those rules, but not all of them. And the districts are understandably a little confused. So maybe we can get some direction on that for them. Hey, coming up in the next hour, Senator Bill Eigel is going to join us with what might still happen before 6 p.m. tomorrow night when the session ends. We'll get to him. Your phone call's next, 314-241-9797. So what do you think about what the governor said there? I mean, it sounds like he's definitely signaling his support for this HB. Is it 271? I think it is. I keep getting the number wrong. But that was Jim Murphy's bill, basically, to rein in the local health departments, the Sam Pages, the mayors that have stepped overboard and continue to step overboard when, what did he say, 90-some percent of the schools in Missouri were in session full-time except
it was just St. Louis City and Kansas City.
In Kansas City, mm-hmm. Yeah. And I guess, has every single St. Louis County district gone back now? Ugh. Seems like they have.
It
I don't know
like,
if any
I
of them are still
I can't
out.
Think of one that's not, at least in some sort of, even if it's still like a hybrid type thing.
Yeah, it's a good question. Sue's got a good question here on line one. Sue, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Mark. Thanks for taking my call. Real quick, did he mention anything? I didn't hear the whole interview. Did Governor Parson mention anything about the state of emergency? We're still in a state of emergency, Missouri. And I've called his office several times asking, please take us out of the state of emergency, because I think these health departments and counties are using that for their draconian restrictions they're putting on us all. Yeah. And Governor Parson even said, we're well beyond this crisis. And if he believes that, why doesn't he take us out of this state of emergency?
Sue, I wish, you know, it's one of those questions you look in hindsight, and I wish I would have asked that. I had 10 things written down here to get to him on, and I forgot to ask that question. It's a great question. And
well,
not answer it. I didn't think to ask it, and therefore he didn't have a chance to answer it. I don't know why you wouldn't automatically rescind that, except that maybe it gives the health director at the state level a bit of extra authority. It also gives Sam Page extra authority. And I've said
Amen.
All along the
yep.
best way to take that away would be to cancel that emergency order. So yeah.
Exactly. A lot of people believe he's doing that for COVID money.
Maybe. We'll try to get an answer from his office. We'll email him and see if they get back with us on that. Thank
you. Sounds great. Maybe you can get some action from him. Obviously, you can. You got an interview with
him.
So thank you.
Thank you, Sue. I appreciate it. Yeah, thanks for the call. Hey, coming up, Bill Igel is going to join us. Maybe he knows the answer to that question. State Senator has been up most of the night here at the end of the session. We'll get to him at about 8:10. We'll be right back.
Get more at 971talk.com. Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.